Love that song. You take beauty for ashes, graves into gardens. Isn't it great that God takes the mess that we are and turns us into something different? There better be an amen out there. So I was sitting there thinking it's Mother's Day, and I always get befuddled, I guess, when I get up here to say welcome and happy Mother's Day. And I have stuff going on in my brain that I think one thing, but the time it gets to my mouth, something else falls out. So yeah, y'all have to forgive me sometimes, but especially on Mother's Day and Father's Day now, you know, dealing with it and thinking about it. So, but I got to thinking about it, and if there was one thing I could say to my mother, and probably should have said years and years again, it was this: I'm sorry. So, if your mother's still around, chances are, some of you don't need to. I know some people have known for a long time they were the perfect children. But you may want to call your mama and go, I'm sorry, love you, thank you. But yeah, it's one of those days that, you know, we just rejoice and we thank God. We're going to be at John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13 is where we're at. And the title of this morning's message is Feet. That's right, we're talking about feet in church this morning. So, John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, here's what it says. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel from which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, my man, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head also. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent is greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you open our hearts and minds. God, teach us. Have us to receive what we need to receive and apply it as we knew it to apply it in our lives, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, this is one of those stories that the supper narrative is in all the Gospels. This is in the Gospel of John. And it's one of those things, again, John is really pointing to Judas in several phases, and he's kind of getting into the story. So, and I've said it before, don't always get tripped up in the order of events and everything else. This is all taking place at that Last Supper, at that feast and everything else that is taking place before Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus knows his time. He knows the end is near. He knows what's about to happen. And he looks around, and up till the very end, I think even to the point where Jesus got on the cross and said, it is finished, Jesus was still teaching his disciples the whole way. He has taken every opportunity to teach and to educate and to lead them. And so God, he knows what's coming. He knows what's about to happen. He knows what Judas is doing. And he's preparing for that. And then all of a sudden he gets up and he performs this act where he washes the feet of his disciples. Now, again, I love Peter. Peter's zeal, his desire, I think I wish we could all have that. I wish we could all have the passion he has but with the restraint that God gives him to go, wait a minute, slow down before you speak. You know, I think back as I think to my parents, and I probably said this before, but my dad used to tell me, boy, put your brain in gear before your mouth in motion. You said that a little too loud, brother. No, you suffer from the same problem I do. It was one of those things that oftentimes I would do or I would say before I would think about what I was about to do or say. As the reality, and I believe Peter is a kindred spirit. He is the same way. He would act, he would do, he would speak before he would think about the ramifications of what he was doing. And right in the middle of this is are you washing my feet, Lord? No, not you. You'll never wash my feet. Now, always be careful. See, I used another one, but always be careful when you use one of those words that leaves no leeway for anything else. Like always, never. Because with God, there's always opportunity. You will never wash my feet. Well, if you don't let me do this, then you don't have a part of me. And again, where does he take it to the other extreme, doesn't he? No, you're not. Okay, then wash everything. But that's not what you need, Peter. Here's what you need. Your only part, you only need your feet washed. Now, you could take spiritual implications, try to spiritualize this and everything else, and there is some truth to the idea of being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and being washed and born again and becoming that new, clean creature. But he's literally speaking about you're already bathed. Your hands and feet are washed. Everything else is done. So understand how they would come into the house. They would come into the house, all right? And it's probably like in my aunt's house up in Georgia. This is the way it was with her. All right? When you came in from outside, you could be outside. You could play all day. You could do whatever. You could touch whatever, play whatever, dig in whatever, no problem. The minute you got to the house before you came inside, the first thing that came off was your what? Shoes. You did not bring your dirty shoes into her house. The second thing you did was as soon as you walked in the door, you took a hard right and went to the bathroom and you washed your hands. If your face was dirty, you should clean it off too. But you try to get as much of the dirt and stuff off of you as you possibly could. If you walked by her in the kitchen and you were too grimy, she'd make you go change your clothes before you sat down on any of her furniture. Needless to say, as a young boy, I spent most of my time outside because I didn't want to go through all of that. The only time I came in was when it was what? Supper time. It's time to eat. I'll wash up for dinner. All right, because I could sit on the wood chair. I didn't have to get as clean. But that's what would happen. The disciples would come in. They would come in to dinner. There would be a basin there. They would take their hands and wash. If their faces dirty, oftentimes they would splash some water, towel dry, and then go eat. So they would take care of the important part. And understand is as they would eat, the other thing they would do would be to recline at a table. They don't eat like we do, right? They didn't have chairs and they didn't sit down around the table. They had a low table. They had pillows everywhere. And what they would do would be sit here and recline. I can't even do it. Legs kicked out behind them at the table. They would lean on this hand, eat with his hand. Your left-handed mother wouldn't be happy about that, but that's how it had to work. They lean on the left, they ate with the right. Majority of the time, come recline at the table. They would get comfortable. Like I said, I couldn't do that anymore. I mean, I remember as a kid lying on the floor and eating, watching TV, right? Sitting there right about 2 feet from the TV, eating whatever. There's no one, if I got down on the floor, I wouldn't get back up right now. All right, but there's no way I could recline and eat right now. Besides, if I tried to recline on the floor, most of the stuff would be on the floor in front of me. At least this way I catch it all with my shirt now. So. But this is how this dinner would go. But something was missing. They had gone through this. They had sat through the meal and Jesus is teaching. They're about to do some other stuff. Jesus looks around, doesn't say a word. And it'll be the first point for this morning, is this. Number one, when we see the need, we should rise to meet it. When we see the need, we should rise to meet it. The disciples would have washed their hands and face, like I said, prior to the meal, and most likely this water would have been present for them to use to even wash their feet if they were too dirty when they came in the house. If you watched the first season of The Chosen with us, you actually saw this with Peter when he and his wife were about to crush grapes. They had the bowl out there. He'd pick his foot up and he just sprinkled some water on it, kind of wiped it off. Now understand, back then we used the term wash loosely. It's basically turn water, splash your hands around and go. Get the big chunks off, right? They usually didn't have the soaps and things like that that we have now, the antibacterial stuff, which is probably the reason we have a pandemic. We've killed all the good bacteria. But that's a whole side note. But apparently no one washed the dirt off of their own feet, did they? Now, I don't know if Jesus is sitting there at dinner and going, or if he just kind of looked around and went, you know what? There's something that hasn't been done yet. Not only did they not wash their own feet, somebody failed to step up or be assigned to do that task. And nobody volunteered for it, did they? No one prior to the meal went, Jesus, nobody's washed feet. You want me to go ahead and take care of that for you? That's not in there, is it? Jesus is the one, the teacher, the rabbi, the savior of the world is the one who looked around and saw that there was a need of something that needed to be taken care of, stood up, and took care of it. He didn't blame the others, did he? Thomas, why aren't you doing this? The disciple, not you. Sorry. Peter, why didn't you do this? Go clean this. Okay, yes, sir. Would they have probably done it if Jesus had said? Yeah, probably. But he didn't start pointing fingers and going, you should have done this. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? He saw the need. He got up and he met it. That's what we need to do as a church. What are the needs? Where are the needs amongst us? How can we rise up to meet those needs? Number two, we must be willing to do the uncomfortable. Washing feet would have been gross. They wore shoes, but the term shoe is very loosely used as well by then as well. It's basically a flat piece of leather with a strap that kind of comes up and flops over your foot. Think flip-flop. More flop than flip back then, though. There wasn't much there, and the main purpose of it was to kind of keep you protected from the little stones and stuff you may be stepping on so you didn't take them straight into the foot. How many of y'all used to run around barefoot as a kid? Amen. All right. How many of you stepped on everything in the yard? Acorns, them little berry-looking things with all the points on them that look like the Death Star, but you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, sand spurs. Those will stop you in your tracks once you run out. Hey, oh, and you got to pull those out. Acorns, rocks, sticks. I had tough feet back when I was a kid. Now a Lego will take me out. That hurts. There you go. Oh, yeah, but we don't even get into those. Those are little death metal things that didn't pick them all up, step on one of those things. But washing feet would have been gross. They didn't have shoes. I mean, washing feet now would not be an ideal choice, would it? Who wants to wash feet this afternoon? You know, there's churches that used to have foot washing services. Some of those primitive Baptist churches used to do that. I'm glad I didn't go there. I'll be real with you. I am glad because, But back then, not even shoes to cover their feet. You know what all they've stepped in? And I'm not going to get gross because we're going to go out to lunch at some point here. But you know what was on their feet back then? Everything. Their Their foot was a home for you could probably trace where they'd walk. You know, you've been through Capernaum. You, right there, you were down on the street. Oh, yeah, I see you went through that district too. Yeah, because that's where they keep the donkeys. I mean, yeah, you could see everything. Nasty, but wash their feet? Mm-mm. It'd have been gross. You know that there will be tasks, there will be people, there will be places that we will encounter that we will not be comfortable with. Does anybody run into anybody like that? That just make you uncomfortable? Is there anything wrong with that? No, it's human nature, right? There are people that are going to make us uncomfortable. We just watched an older movie the other night. Same kind of different as me. Has anybody seen that? It's a great movie. But this couple got together and they went down and they started working with homeless people. It didn't start out well. It ended well for them. For the people, the homeless people there. It's a great story. I'm not going to give it away. But you could definitely tell that there are those, they were uncomfortable with some of these people. And I'm not just talking about those we perceive like homeless to be dirty or anything like that, because not all of them are. There are people that you're going to be uncomfortable with regardless. Maybe they're two country. Maybe they're two different colored skin. Maybe they're two different nationality. Maybe they got too much money, not enough money. You name it. They went to that high school, not that one. Whatever. There are going to be those that you are going to encounter that make us uncomfortable. In and of itself, that's not a problem. The problem is when we let it stop us from doing the things God calls us to do. When we try to treat them differently because we are uncomfortable with them. We must be willing to do the uncomfortable. We must be willing to go places we don't want to go sometimes. To be where we don't want to be. To do what we don't want to do. I'm pretty sure Jesus probably wasn't sitting there going, you know, I can't wait to get up and wash their feet. I don't know. He's Jesus. He might have been excited about getting up and washing their feet. Why? Because he had that servant mentality. We see the need. We should rise up to meet it. We must be willing to do the uncomfortable. So what does Jesus show us in this example? How should we act? Well, number three. Humble servant is the posture we must take. Humble servant is the posture we must take. See, foot washing would have been reserved for the lowest person. It would have been for the lowest person in the room, that servant. The rabbi, the teacher, Jesus, should have never gotten up and washed their feet. Now, I don't know their order, their pecking order. Maybe it was the last one called, last one to wash, whatever. But whoever the lowest person in that room should have been the one that does it. It was even so bad that most of the Jews wouldn't even wash one another's feet. If there was a Gentile servant there, they would make the Gentile servant wash instead of the Jewish servant. Washing of the feet was not something anyone wanted to do. Especially is not something you would expect the King of Kings, God of all creation, Jesus, to stoop down and do. And if it wasn't bad enough that he was the one that got up to get the water in the basin, just picture the room. They're lounging around. They're talking. Jesus, they probably think he's just kind of standing up to stretch his legs, right? What's he doing? They're still talking. They're not paying much attention. He doesn't leave the room. All of a sudden, Jesus goes over and starts taking his robe off and throws it down. Now he's wearing what we would consider underwear, undergarments. Which would have been humiliating. took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and then walked up behind one of the disciples. I wonder how many feet he'd stuck in the water bucket before the rest of them realized what had gone on. Now, maybe no mistake, he didn't remove all his clothes. All right, it was his outer garments. It was the, you know, like I said, it basically got him down to the stuff. You don't want to get your outer clothes sweaty. It'd be the same, guys, if we were running around in our nice jacket shirt and had a t-shirt on, it'd be the same as us taking a jacket and our nice dress shirt off and just running kind of in a t-shirt. But even the way he dressed now is that of a servant. To take on the towel, to pick up the water, and go to his disciples and begin to wash their feet. Notice only one of them said anything. Now maybe that's just because they didn't record it. But I think if you look at Scripture, you can tell Peter was usually the spokesman, right? He's usually the one that would speak up and go, hey, wait a minute. But notice his reaction still. What did he say? He said, you're not going to wash my feet. What should he have said? Jesus, let me take that from you. Let me finish for you. I'm sorry. The first one whose feet touched the water should have jumped up and said, Jesus, what are you doing? No, we should be doing. We're sorry. We missed this. We're so sorry. Here, let me take this. And they should have been about the work. You know who also got their feet washed in this? Judas. He washed the feet of the one who was about to walk out the door and betray him to the cross. Can you imagine being that servant? Humbling yourself so much that we walk out this door and would even serve the very people that might want to kill us. That might want to harm us. Number four, we are to serve each other. If you want to take it in the lines, we are to serve one another. He says, I've given you an example. Do this as I do it. Now, let me ask you this, Bible scholars. How many times after this passage do you hear of anybody washing feet in Scripture? So I'm guessing Jesus didn't literally mean go wash everybody's feet. I'm not saying they didn't do it. They may have. We know churches that have. I mentioned those earlier. But there's some churches that do things that they've taken out of the Bible that the Bible didn't actually say we're supposed to continue to do. For example, handing out snakes. I don't ever want to go to that church either. So Jesus isn't setting up an ordinance here, all right? He's not saying it's Lord's Supper, all right? Do the Lord's Supper, then wash one another's feet afterwards. I mean, if you want to take it literally, shouldn't we do that? Next time we have the Lord's Supper, shouldn't we have a basin up here? Everybody come forward and I wash your feet. Or I wash one person's feet, then you go wash their feet and pass it around. Because we're supposed to do it for one another, right? But that's not what it says. He's given us an example. He says, serve is not greater than the master. You need to serve one another. What is the need? How can I serve you? How can I help you? And I believe it starts within the walls of this building. Serving each other here. Loving one another here. If we can't do it here, we can't walk out there and show it to a world. Can we? They're not going to believe us. We're going to go out there and go, we love you, Jesus loves you. Sure, you don't even love each other. But if we begin to serve one another, if we step into those places that make us uncomfortable, where we see those needs that need to be met and we start meeting them the best way we can, using the resources that we have. Now see, if I was Jesus and had Jesus' power, I'd have just spoke a word. Y'all's feet be clean. Everybody had shiny, polished feet right then and there. Toenails would have been clipped. Everything would have looked great, wouldn't it? Because he could have done that, couldn't he? But instead, he showed them, here's what we got. We've got the water. We've got the towel. You've got somebody who's willing to do it. But really, what is he setting up for them? This is something so minor to them. I'm washing your feet, but wait to what's about to happen. He's washed a part of their body. He's fixing to go shed his blood to wash the soul, the spirit that has been stained with sin, that is dirty with all the things of the world. He's fixing to go to the cross to show them, look, I'm setting an example for you. You're to give your life to one another. You're to give your life for my sake to this world. And there's something about it. There's something about this idea of feet. Because one of the last things Jesus tells his disciples is take your feet, walk out into this world, and share the gospel with everyone you encounter. Blessed are the feet who take the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the example that you have given us, Lord Jesus, that you have come to serve us. God, I pray that you forgive us those times that we fail, that we miss the need, that we don't see what it is before us. God, you open our eyes and our hearts to see what you see, Lord Jesus. Humble us, Lord, to be your servants in this world, to serve the lost, the sick, the needy, the broken. Jesus, we thank you for your cross. We thank you for the shed blood of Calvary. We thank you that you have washed us whiter than snow. We thank you, Lord, that you walked out of that tomb victorious over sin, over death. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.